And we are looking at the Bible. The Bible's authority. We saw the divisions of the Bible, the Old Testament, the New Testament. We're looking at the authority of the Bible now. And we see, this is important for us to remember, it's easy to be sidetracked from this, but the Bible must be obeyed above human tradition. That might not seem like a big deal here, but it's easy to fall into the trap of tradition and not realize it. I mean, we think of typically around this area, we think of tradition would be like a lot of the stuff the Catholic Church does, but it's easy to fall into all sorts of traditions. I mean, just, you know, we go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and Saturday soul winning, and it just becomes a rut, it becomes a tradition. Instead of us serving God out of an honest and a sincere heart, we just kind of just do it out of tradition. And we just go through just vain repetition of what we're doing. And there's no meaning in it in our lives. So we want to avoid tradition. And again, the scriptures need to be obeyed above tradition. So let me turn in my Bible to Mark chapter number 7. And we want verse 9. Mark chapter 7, verse 9. For some of you that are a little slower getting there, it's page 1054. All right, Mark chapter 7, verse 9. And he said unto them, full well, get this, ye reject the commandment of God that ye may keep your own tradition. For Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother, and whoso curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But if ye say a man shall say to his father or mother, it is korban, that is to say, it is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. And ye suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother. And get this now, this is important right here. Making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered, and many such like things do ye. So what did they do? What did the Pharisees do? And this is what it means to be a Pharisee, by the way. I want us to let the Bible define what it means to be a Pharisee. Today, in the watered-down so-called Christianity that's out there, they call being a Pharisee as someone that would hold to the holiness. Holiness, and people don't like holiness because it affects your lifestyle. I'm just going to tell you right now, it affects your lifestyle. It affects the places you go, the people you hang out with, the things you listen to, the things you watch, the things that you do. It affects all of that. Biblical holiness will affect your life. Amen. And that's why people don't like it and why they reject it. So when you basically reject the word of God, you're a Pharisee. A Pharisee does not mean you hold to standards of holiness, to righteousness. That is not being a Pharisee or a legalist. That's obeying the word of God. What it does mean to be a Pharisee is to reject the word of God so you can keep your own tradition, whatever you deem necessary. So most of the people that would call a church like ours legalistic or Pharisaical, biblically speaking, they're the Pharisees. Amen. Because they have rejected the word of God so they can keep their own tradition, their own commandments. That's biblically, this is what the Bible says. I want you to see it. And he said unto them, Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees, full well, ye reject the commandment of God. He said, I don't care what the Bible says, I can do this. Men growing their hair long, I can grow my hair long. The Bible says it's a shame for a man to have long hair. I'm just telling you, this is what it means to follow the word of God. Full well, ye reject the commandment of God that ye may keep your own tradition. I'm going to do this no matter what. So you can keep your own tradition. Notice who's the focus on right there, that ye may keep your own tradition. It's what I want. That's what it is. That's what Phariseeism is. It's just selfishness. I'm going to reject God's word so I can do it my way. My way. I don't want to have to follow God. I don't like the way God says it. This is why they rejected the Messiah, by the way. And let me tell you, this is the same reason people today reject the Messiah.
Amen.
This is why they reject Christ. Why they won't receive him as their Savior. Because they reject the commandment of God. They're not willing to follow the Savior. What do they do by doing that? They lift up and they'll look holy. I'm telling you, they're going to look like they're so pious and such just amazing people. And people would say, oh, they're so loving and full of grace. Just they're so amazing. As they reject the Word of God, what do? They're making the Word of God of none effect through your tradition. No. They're not amazing. They're not loving. That's not loving to lie to someone. But oftentimes these people will come off as what's seen as loving, which just means accepting of sin. That's all it means, and that's what people mean today. And honestly, as we look at the authority of the Scriptures, we say they need to be obeyed above human tradition, but even our own traditions that we would set for ourselves, our own standards that we want to set for ourselves, we need to be willing to tear those down. Because most of the standards we set for ourselves are going to be rooted in our own pride for our own sake or what the world has taught us. And we need standards in our life. Amen. Every one of us needs standards in our life. How many of you drive through every red light you come to? Does anybody in here drive through red lights they come to? Brother Brad accepted. Because obviously, okay, no, for the most part, we don't drive through red lights. We have a standard. We say, no, when I come to a red light, I'm going to stop. Why would we do that? Why would we stop at a red light? Help me. Safety, right? If we don't, we'll get T-boned. We could get T-boned. I don't want that. Does anyone in here want that? No, so we have a standard that we live by when we're driving so we don't die. Correct? Okay, that makes sense to us. This is the same thing. We need standards in our life. I don't believe standards are based in pride. I believe standards should be based on the Word of God. And I put a standard in my life so that I can be protected spiritually. And sometimes physically. Some of the truths of the Word of God, the standards that I set in my life, are also to protect me physically. Look, there's a standard we try and go by when we go soul winning. We try and go 2x2. That's a standard. Why? So we can be protected physically as well. And spiritually. We want that other person praying for us when we're talking to somebody. But that's a standard we have in our life in order to protect ourselves. See, what you have to do, you have to determine for yourself, do I want God's standards or do I want my standards? And I'm serious. Everyone in here needs to answer that question. You need to be honest about it too. You need to decide, am I going to follow God with all my heart? Do I want to follow God? And if not, then I'm just like a Pharisee. Jesus would come and say to you today, if you're saying, I'm going to do it my way, Jesus would come and say to you, how many of you would like this if Jesus showed up and he walked in this building and he just walked right up to you in your face. I'm up here preaching and Jesus just walks in and he comes right to you and he looks at you and he says, full well, you reject the commandment of God that you may keep your own tradition. How many of you would like that? And you'd say, oh, what are you talking about, Lord? You know what? That's how the Holy Spirit convicts still today. He might have already told you that right now to your face. Full well, you reject the commandment of God that you may keep your own tradition because you want to do it your way. Your way. Just go follow Frank Sinatra then. I did it my way. He's in hell right now, by the way.
Amen.
He lived a wicked lifestyle. Oh, he had class. Sure, as he was a drunk, womanizer, gambler. Yeah, he had class. He did it his way. I did it my way. You go do it your way too. See, the Bible doesn't call him a womanizer. The Bible calls him a whoremonger.
Amen.
Go read Revelation 21:8. You want to learn what happens to whoremongers. See, we set standards in our life. I'm going to set some standards in my life so I'm not a whoremonger. I'm not going to go to a bar for several reasons, but the one I'm looking at is so I'm not a whoremonger. I've been watching a documentary by Ken Burns on the West. And it's talking about as they traveled West, and it was talking about some of the cowboys. And what started happening, really, they gave them the name cowboys because what they started doing is they said there was like 6 million head of beef here and there was really no need for it. So two guys got the idea, said we're going to march it north. And the train, the railroad tracks had come through, it had gone across the continent, and they said we're going to take them north up to one of the some camps up there, some army camps, but we also want to get them to the railroad tracks so they can get them back east. And they ended up making, after they did their run, their 4-month run to get them up north from Texas, they took them all the way up north and got them up there, and they made $24,000. Think about that in 1860. $24,000. That's a boatload of money back then. That's what they did, and they started calling them cowboys, and then other ranchers had heard about that, and they all started taking their cattle up north. So you'd have these groups of cowboys just going up there. And as they went, they'd go into all these cities. They started banning the cowboys from going into these cities. City said, no, we don't want you here. They were mild-mannered people until they got payday. Once they got the cattle up there and they got paid, they'd get it all one lump sum. And then they'd go and they'd drink it up. They'd turn into a bunch of drunks and running out after the prostitutes and everything like that. And they'd just shoot up the city and everything like that. They started banning them, started passing gun control laws saying you can't have guns in this city. Think of Wyatt Earp and all that stuff. Yeah, that's what that whole thing was about, against the cowboys. You can't have your guns in here. Anyway, whole other story, but that's what started happening with that. Why? Because these mild-mannered men, and that's what they said about them, most of them were very mild-mannered until they got their pay. And then they turned into drunks. And they were doing all sorts of debauchery. So we set a standard so that I don't do those things. I don't want to go that route. You know, if we start looking at what the Bible says in so many things and not rejecting it, I mean, it says in 1 Thessalonians that I'm to abstain from all appearance of evil. So let me go hang out with my buddies at the bar. Let me go do that. I'm just going to go to happy hour with them. I won't drink. Sure you won't. Yet. You know more than God. I'm telling you, when you want to reject God's word, you're saying, I know more than you, God. You're an idiot, and I'm right. It still says in 1 Corinthians 15:33, evil communications corrupt good manners. Amen. It still says that. You are not the exception. You will go down too. Take heed lest ye also fall. Not me. But you know what some people, see, the person that has rejected the commandment of God, so you can keep your own tradition, the person that's rejected the commandment of God has almost already said in their heart, I really don't care what God says. I really don't care. And in their pride, their own heart has deceived them. Why does God warn us about that? Proverbs 4:23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Keep your heart, guard your heart, protect your heart. And most people, even Christians, maybe some of you in this church right now, don't guard your heart. You don't protect your heart. I got it under control. Your own heart will deceive you. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Your own heart is deceitful above all things. All things, your own heart. I've got this under control. Sure you do. Sure you do. Let's go back and ask the girl that's walking central where it all started when she had it under control. I'm not kidding you. I've known of girls that have grown up in churches just like this, hearing the same truths that you're hearing right now, the same doctrine that you're getting, that ended up prostitutes in a church just like this. They never thought in a million years that would be them. Yet there they go. Yet there they go. So we want to reject the word of God. There's consequences to it. This isn't like for pretend. This isn't just plain. It doesn't bring me joy to have to even preach on these things. But I want to warn all of us, every one of us in here, every single one of us in here. I just yesterday heard of a preacher that ended up, I don't even know what happened yet, but there's some sexual misconduct with some young girl. Just yesterday. This is for every one of us in here. I'm not just picking on the young people, this is for every one of us in here. Because our own heart can deceive us. Our own heart will lie to us. Your heart will lie to you. It will lie to you. So you have to ask yourself with all sincerity, am I rejecting the commandment of God so I can keep my own tradition? Is it my way? Is it my way? Is it my way? Or am I truly submitted and seeking God's way? You know, if we were to ask and everyone be honest, I think there'd be more than we'd expect in here that would say, I'm doing it my way. Problem is, we're not even honest with ourselves about that sometimes. We'll lie to ourselves that we're trying to seek God's way, when in reality we know that's not the truth. We just want to soothe our conscience. And here's what you do. You soothe it enough until you get to the point you don't care. And then you say, I don't care about God's way. I'm doing it my way. I've seen it happen too many times. I've seen it happen way too many times. If I'm seeking God, I'm doing it God's way. I still read my Bible. Well, why aren't you in church? So as soon as someone gets out of church, there's a problem. There is a spiritual problem somewhere. As soon as they get out of church, because God is not leading anybody to get out of church, I'm telling you right now. God will not lead someone out of church.
Amen.
He will not do that. So there is a spiritual problem. And I can see it happening. Every time it's happened, I've known it's coming. Every single time I've known it's coming. You can watch it happen. And I'm just stick around long enough. Some of you already know. You're like, yeah, I've seen it. I know when it's coming too. You'll see it happening. They just slowly start drawing back. It's the same every single time. I've warned about it before, and it still happens the same way every single time. But why? Because they're like, it won't happen to me. Their own hearts deceived them. I'm telling you, that's what's going on. And they end up away from God somewhere they never thought they'd be. You say, well, I know some that have left, and they're not that bad. They're not that good either. Samson was doing pretty good till he lost his eyesight, huh? Well, it's not that bad. God's still using him. Look. And then he gets his eyes burned out. You know, it was his own sin that he lost what he left God over. It was his eyes kept getting him into trouble. I mean, it started with, hey, I saw this woman. Go get her for me, he told his parents. And he just kept seeing things that he wanted, and it was always women. I want. And God says, oh, is that right? Okay. I'll help you with that problem. Took his eyesight. He was blind. But he didn't just go blind. Do you realize they, got red hot? Red hot pointer and burned his eyeballs out. Now think about the torture of that, watching that thing come at your eye as they're holding you down. They're like, close your eyes, we'll burn right through your eyelid. We don't care. They don't care. You know, you're watching that thing come at your eye. Now they do the first one, you're screaming in pain and torment, and they just throw you on the floor as you're just there screaming, holding your eye, can't do anything about it. And now get this would be the worst part. I don't even think the first eye would be the worst. I think the second eye would be the worst because you know what's coming now. Now you know how bad it hurts. Before you're just like, this is horrible. How bad is this going to be? Now you know and you're about to get it the second time. And that's what they did to him. That's how he lost his eyesight. Oh, but he had fun in his sin. He was okay. Hey, if you'd have gone back 2 years before that, man, you'd be like, look, he's doing this. He's not following God like he should and everything's good for him. Because look, I'm just telling you, I know the way people think. Amen. I'm telling you, some of you are listing off people. You're like, Pastor, man, you don't even know what you're talking about. I know so many people that are in sin and they're doing all this stuff. Guess what? Let me tell you right now. Let me tell you something else here. God will allow lost people to get away with more than he'll allow you to get away with.
Amen.
How many lost people lived the way Samson was living and they didn't lose their eyesight?
Right.
Samson knew better. See, God chooses who and how much mercy he has on somebody. And it's up to him. And the fact that you're not even struck dead right now is a testimony to God's mercy. You say, but he gave them more mercy than me. That's not fair. The fact that any of us are still alive isn't fair. He shouldn't give us any mercy.
Amen.
Stop comparing yourselves to other people. Because I know some of you right now, you're like, well, I know this person, and they're all doing okay, and they don't live for God. Okay, let's see if God lets you hold up to that. Go for it. Do it. Go live your own way. Full well. You reject the commandment of God that you may keep your own tradition. Some of you in here right now may very well be on the path to rejecting the Word of God. You're already rejecting the Word of God because you're not practicing it in your life. You're learning it and you're not practicing it. Therefore, you're rejecting what the Word of God says. You're not submitted to the Lord. You're not submitted to His Word. You're a Pharisee. You're a Pharisee right now. And you're going down the path to make it worse. I promise you, you are. I promise you, if that's where you're at, I don't know. I don't know if that's where you're at. But if that's where you are, that's the path you're headed down. And you can think you have all the control over it. But you really don't. You really have zero control. We think we have control over a lot of things, and we don't. I've got this under control. I can handle this. But at any second, it can let loose and go. It would be like, let's say there's a 2,000-pound pallet suspended over air with a chain. And it's bolted off over here to the floor. And I'm standing there holding the chain like this saying, I got it. I got this. I can let go with one hand. I got it. This is all under control, but it's not you that has it. See, you've deceived yourself into thinking you've got it. I got this under control, but as soon as that bolt, if that bolt comes out of there, you got nothing. You have zero control. And that's what it's like when we think we can handle some sin. Oh, I can hold this. I can handle this. Hey, let me wrap my hand around this chain. I'm just going to hold this 2,000 pounds. Man, you're going to take off like a rocket as soon as that thing lets loose. You're gone. You have zero control, and that's how your sin is. You think you got it. You've deceived yourself. You've lied to yourself. Your heart's deceived you. You're not guarding your heart, and you're letting all this sin in. You're allowing whatever sin it is, whatever really the rejection of God's word, so you can do your own thing. You're allowing that to come in, and you've rejected God's word, and you say, I've got this under control. Man, I've been handling this for a year. I've been handling this for years, for months. Man, pastor's talking all this stuff. Nothing even happens. I've been doing this. I'm fine. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. I've got it. You know something about sowing and reaping? You plant a seed, the next day it doesn't just poof, and there's your harvest. Nope. Months later. And we think we get away with it, and we think we got it under control. And then all of a sudden, it's harvest time. Like, whoa, I don't want to deal with that. I bet that preacher thought he got away with it. So I'm good. I got this. It's good. Nobody knows. Then all of a sudden, comes out. It's probably ruined his marriage, probably. That's going to be some rocky water to get through if it didn't ruin his marriage. And his wife would have justification to leave him. But we think we've got it under control, and we really don't. If you're here and you're lying to yourself, stop. Please stop. Please stop. Stop rejecting the word of God. Is the Bible our authority or not? We have to take it as an authority over human tradition, whether it's religious tradition or in the application I'm making today, whether it's our own tradition and what we want to do and going after our own selfish desires. The Bible says, moving on here, if you would turn to Psalm chapter 138 and verse 2. What's the penalty for someone that blasphemes the name of God? It's a death penalty, isn't it? God's name then is very special, is it not? Get this, Psalm 138, verse 2. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. Now get this, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Thy word above all thy name. Again, this goes back to the same point. God says, my word is that important, that it's higher than my name, that at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Man, that's the way you got saved. That's the way you were born again, is by calling on the name of the Lord. And God says that thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. That's what the psalmist said concerning God's word. That God has magnified, lifted up, made more importance, put more focus on God's word than even God's name. As special and holy and powerful as God's name is, God says his word's above it. God has lifted his word above his name, magnified it, made more preeminence on it, made a bigger deal of it. When you magnify something, you make it bigger. And God says, I've magnified my word above my name. Think about that. Where is God's word in your life? Most of us in here strive not to blaspheme God's name. We strive not to take God's name in vain. So what do we do with His word? What do we do with His word? How important is it to us? We could talk about reading it. That's just a given. We should all be reading His word. Honestly, I mean, babies eat baby food. We should all read His word. But I'm talking about beyond that. What do we do with it? Do we apply it? Do we live it? Be ye doers of God's word and not hearers only. Man, see, that's a Pharisee right there. Don't be a Pharisee. Be a doer of God's word. Saying it's hard, I fail. Well, good. Get back up and keep going. In Proverbs, it talks about the just man falleth 7 times, but guess what? He gets back up. Amen. Amen. You've only failed if you don't get up.
Amen.
All right. And how many of you have heard of Formula 409? Mm-hmm. You ever heard of Formula 409? You ever clean your house with Formula 409? Mm-hmm. How come it's not Formula 408? Because Formula 408 didn't work. 407 didn't work. 406 didn't work. 405, 404, 403, all the way down. The 409th formula, they said, that works. They didn't quit. It took them that many times. You're only a failure if you don't get up. Everyone in here is going to fail. Man, there's been some times I failed this past week. All right, I lost my temper in times I shouldn't have. I failed. But I didn't quit. We shouldn't quit. Just get back up. Keep serving God. Thankfully, He's the God of the next chance. Amen. I love that about God. Amen. If you're still alive, God's giving you a chance. But you don't know what I did. You don't know how bad it is. Let me just tell you right now. Look, I don't ever want any of you to go down that path I was just talking about where you end up walking central or something, okay? I don't ever want you on that path. I don't ever want you to be one of the guys that's talking to one of those girls walking central, okay? Never want any of you in that situation, ever. I never want that. That's why I'm telling you all this. But let me say this. If you ever get in that situation, if you're ever there and you're still breathing, God still wants to use you.
Amen.
And it's not too late.
Amen.
And if you'll just turn to God, God can turn it all around. I mean that from the bottom of my heart. I mean that. If God could use a wicked dog like Samson, come on. Look, David was a man after God's own heart, and he failed him royally. Royally. And how would you like your sin to be laid out there for everyone to read about forever? That would be awful. But we all know about the wicked things that David did. He had a man murdered to cover up his adultery. Bad. Bad. But God still used him even after that. Now, I'm not saying there will not be consequences to our actions. There most definitely will be. And even when you get right with God, you may have to face those consequences. It doesn't take away the consequences of our actions. Yeah. But God can still use you. God has lifted up His word above His name. All right, we're going to stop right there.